Well, this hour, let's take your questions with Joseph Gallenberger, perhaps even your stories. How have you used PK to change your life? And welcome back to Coast, Joseph Gallenberger with us. We're going to take your calls, of course. Joseph, your books, Liquid Luck in Inner Vegas, people can still get them, can't they?
Oh, yeah. You can get them on Amazon, or if you go to liquidluckbook.com, that'll take you to my website, and you'll get a signed copy, and you can also pick up the meditation that goes with it at liquidluckbook.com.
And what projects are you working on now, Joe?
Got a couple of interesting things coming up. There's a movie called Superpowers. You can go to superpowerfilm.com for that. It's a 9-episode series coming out in about mid-January, and it's dealing with the potential as humans with intuition, PK, healing, all of that stuff. And I think I'm in the 9. I think I'm in several of those series. So that just finished filming, and they're in post-production. So that's kind of fun.
Fantastic.
Working on a consciousness board game and video game that people could play and raise their consciousness. Getting my own Zoom workshops going. Still working with Monroe, helping them do this transition to virtual. And can't wait to get back to Vegas, as I mentioned.
Well, it's opening up a little bit at a time. They don't have shows yet, but the casinos are open. You have to wear a mask. The bars just opened up, and the restaurants have been open. So it's getting back to normal, except for the shows and, you know, the conventions. They don't have conventions yet, and that's, of course, a staple for Vegas.
Yeah, and we get people from all over the world traveling, and that's still a challenge on the airplanes. So we'll wait a little while, but we're hoping by late spring, latest, we'll be back in business on the Vegas workshop.
You know, talking about COVID, Britain is starting to shut down again. They're told people to stay home, work from home. Restaurants and bars have to close by 10 p.m. They're going the other way.
Yeah, it's this fall going to be interesting, let's say that way. But we'll know what's going on election-wise. We'll know a little bit more about the illness. Of course, we're all hoping for a vaccine that's safe. And
that's not going to come soon.
No, it's going to be a while. So, you know, the thing that gets me about all this is the health experts are not talking about things that help the immune system, being happy, eating well,
exactly,
being out in nature, smiling, humor. Yep. A lot of things we talked about today, I would sure be building your immune system up so you can go through. You know, I haven't had the regular flu for 20-plus years, and I travel like 26 weeks a year some years. So it helps if you get yourself in good shape. You know, some people, of course, are very vulnerable in rest homes and all that, but we should be doing more than just sitting home worrying. If we take care of ourselves, that'll help as well.
Let's go to Bill in Dallas to get things started. Hey, Bill, welcome to the program.
Hi, George, and we're in the Dallas Cowboy mode here in Dallas.
Yes, you are.
Great. I have a couple of questions. First of all, I'd like to know, how specific do you have to be with the energy that you're working with? Let's say, for example, you wanted to take a shot at the Texas lottery, for example. Do you have to be specific as to the amount you'll win to make this succeed?
It's good to be specific about what you would like to create, but not necessarily the way it might come. And I'll talk about, you know, the big lottery. The problem is there's hundreds of millions of people all thinking different numbers. One needs a new kidney. One has an autistic child. One wants to start a business. So they're all that is scrambled energy. We're not all thinking the same number. If a million of us thought the same number, it's likely to come in. So looking at smaller things like a scratch ticket, you know, specifically to go in that day, to use your intuition, which one to pick, and be aiming for $1,000 or $500 or whatever you feel is possible. If you only think 20 bucks is possible, start there. Because if you think it's impossible or you don't deserve it, then that gets in the way.
What was your other question, Bill?
Well, I just wondered what his comments were as this relates to religion. You know, in the Bible, Christ talks about in his kingdom, what you want, you give it away. For example, you are requested to tithe 10% off the top of your earnings. And this sounds a lot like maybe what he's tapping into. I'd like his comments on that.
Okay, very good. Go ahead.
I think it's in line philosophically with many religious systems, with this idea of being generous to the poor, as we've talked about, the tithing idea. You want to have a cycle of energy. It doesn't just stop and you hold it. That would be like holding your breath. You know, you freely exhale in order to take another breath in. And it's very much like that. And I think it's in line with spiritual thought as well.
We've done some intention experiments on the program, Joe, and the last one didn't work tremendously. They did get some sprinkles, but we wanted it to rain over those West Coast states that had all these fires.
Yes.
But what do you think of intention?
I think it's very powerful. There, again, your intention might be combining with millions of people afraid of the fire and thinking drought and all of that.
Yeah.
So your group has to be quite clear and coherent and imagine that area. You know, I'd go back almost to Native Indian traditions, as best I know, where you might give gratitude for water, realize your body is made of water, think of merging with a drop of water, get in that unity with the what you're wanting, and then rain dance it in, if you will. So you're wanting to have a good visualization of wetness. And then, of course, this is something better. We don't know the wisdom of the grand cycles. You know, like if we didn't allow any wildfires for 30 years, then there would be a huge rebalancing at some point. So we never know. But we see people with hurricanes or fires or whatever, sometimes feeling like they had good effect of turning a hurricane away from land or those kind of things. But I'm glad you guys tried. And
we'll keep trying.
Yeah.
Can you say if one of the one, can the one be more powerful than the many, the individual?
I think what we see in PK studies is one is easier because even though it's still a challenge, you can control your own thought a little better. The example I use, you know, in Vegas, we might be love and light, have an intention to roll a 9. But then if I asked a group of 18 out there, let's order a pizza, what do you want on it? It could take an hour of discussion to decide whether it's going to be a meat pizza or a vegan pizza or what. So getting groups to have a coherent intent is challenging. But if you get that coherent intent, then a group can be even more powerful than the one.
Getting back a little biblical, do you think Jesus had these abilities?
I think so. And, of course, he said, you can do what I can do, or greater. You know, I think if we look at his life, the huge thing that stands out is the amount of love. And so, you know, maybe that's a key on how to get into some of that ability.
Absolutely. Let's go to Tom in La Jolla. Hi, Tom. Welcome.
Hi, George. Thank you for accepting my call. And Joseph, I always appreciate your interviews. It puts a smile on my face, and I appreciate your positivity. I wanted to extend the discussion into the arena of sports. And specifically, you talked about the Monroe Institute. Comment and then a question. There was another institute called Esalen Institute at Big Sur in California. And 45 years ago, Michael Murphy, the founder of Esalen Institute, he and several other people from Esalen would experiment with intention at sports games, specifically stadium games. So they would go to, say, a football game, and it would have, say, 100,000 people there. But four individuals could change the outcome of the game, could change the point spread. And specifically, the individuals were Michael Murphy, George Leonard, athlete Mike Spino, and his sister, athlete Dervica Spino. And they would focus their intention, and they found that they could change, just like you could change with psychokinesis, the roll of the dice at Las Vegas, they could change the trajectory of a football, say.
Okay.
Okay. And it was later written up in the book 45 years ago called The Psychic Side of Sports. And they really delved into that attitude is everything, intention is everything. And they talked extensively, particularly Michael Murphy and George Leonard, about how you could influence games. You could influence, you know, by psychokinesis, the trajectory of a football or a basketball or a baseball, that type of thing. You could change the point spread, reverse the point spread of a game, you know, ahead of time. They documented this 45 years ago. George Leonard went on to write The Silent Pulse. They did workshops on this at Esalen. Dervica Spino, an athlete, would teach a three-day workshop to non-athletes. And the first 2 days would be building attitude, you know, building, you know, unshakable attitude. And then on the third day, she would have her non-athlete participants run 20 miles effortlessly. And people did it, you know, because attitude is everything. So I was wondering if you would extend the discussion that you're having, beautiful discussion, by the way, into the arena of sports, the arena of stadium sports, into the arena of other sports like athletes running marathons, like martial arts, etc. And appreciate your discussion and your perspective, Joseph. Thanks.
Sure. So on individual, yes, you know, they've had sports teams actually be studied where if they visualized for a few hours compared to another team which would practice on the court for those few hours, the visualizers tended to do better. So that there would be a balance of actual physical tuning the body up, but quite a bit of the mental practice with imagining success, et cetera, was a very powerful strategy. In terms of 100,000 people in a stadium, you know, again, if we go to that coherence of intent, you might, let's just say 50,000 want one team to win and the other one. Let's give it this way, 80,000 home team, 20,000 visitors, that there's a home team advantage, if you will. If you get to a situation where there's some people of very high power and coherence, like the Esalen people you're talking to, I would suspect, then you have that situation where in the chaos of all this cross-intention, you have extreme clarity in a certain group, you're likely to have more, way out of proportion influence over the event than people that are, you know, not to pick on alcohol, but drinking a bunch of beer and sometimes paying attention to the game, sometimes not, but not focusing as clearly as the Esalen group did. Does that help some to give you an idea?
I bet it did. Frank in Hollywood, Maryland. Go for it, Frank.
Howdy, George. Glad to be back with you.
Thank you.
I need help in picking a slot machine. I don't gamble that much. But I've been having the slots call me, and then I've been used to...
sounds like a Twilight Zone
plant. If there's a beautiful plant around the slot machine, I'll go to that one. Or if there's a movie promotion of Halle Berry or something, I'd go to that one. So what should I do in picking a slot?
Well, first, it's Frank, correct?
Yes.
I would spend time getting in a really good mood with an open heart before you ever go in the casino. That could be walking around outside looking at beautiful plants or the mountains in the background or the blue sky, thinking about grandkids or pets, whatever. But you want to walk in a great mood and having a specific intention like the royal flush or whatever it might be. And then you begin scanning to see if a machine might even talk to you a little bit, let's use that word, or glow or somehow gets your attention. And then you sit down, and believe it or not, when I sit down, I often think of all my relatives on the other side, my dear mom and dad who I loved, who have passed on, my two brothers, and I get into a real sense of connection and gratitude for the love of and then being in my life. Then I pull the trigger or the handle and often get some good results. So it's a combination of intuition, picking this machine that seems receptive, as well as you being in a terrific mood with a specific intention for a particular win. I definitely wouldn't go in when I'm feeling tired. I wouldn't go in when I'm feeling like I just lost. If I didn't have luck with that first $20 bill going through, I'm going to go out to the pool, get a massage, walk around, take a nap, something to reset energy.
Mm-hmm. Feel up. And your energy can flip for pretty darn fast, too, yeah. Can it?
Yes, and slot machines kind of take energy or receive energy, whichever way you might do. Like a dice game generates energy because other people are there cheering. But a slot machine, you got to be careful. So I'm usually playing slots for 10, 15 minutes at a time. Then I go do something else to enjoy myself and regather my energy.
Let's go next. Thanks, Frank. Joe in Monterey, California. Hey, Joseph, go ahead.
Thank you, George.
Sure, Joe.
Okay, I manifest things, okay, and I also can change.
Is it easy for you to do that?
It's a method, and sometimes it's done, and after it's manifested, I say, oh, my God, I set that into motion. We do create. We're in the process of creating. The more of your senses that you use in your visualization, the more reality you make it within yourself, the more it's going to happen externally, as above, so below. So that's a very important, and be very specific. I could give you examples of this, but if you want.
Well, I agree that, you know, we've had people say, I'd like a Mercedes in my driveway. And they get home and there's one in their driveway, but it isn't there. Is it a parking brake got off and it rolled into their driveway?
That's
you
right.
Want that Mercedes, you smell the leather, you feel you're in there, you hold the registration in your hand, you hear the motor purr, all of that. As much as you can participate as if this were real right now, and see how it's of benefit to yourself and others, that gives it a lot of juice.
Do these wishes ever come with consequences, Joe?
Sure, hopefully good ones. You know, if I got that Mercedes, it may be that I have a longer social extension. I take more trips. I have less car repair because it's more reliable. Who knows? But Bob Monroe himself and Monroe Institute called it patterning. You want to look if you want the whole pattern in your life. So, like, somebody will say, gee, I'd like a soulmate in my life. But that comes with somebody who's going to push your buttons and bring up your issues. The worst thing you can do is say, gee, I'm lonely. I want someone in my life.
That's right. You can't. You got to be careful how you ask for it. We're coming back for final calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, Robert Felix joins us, not by fire but by ice, to talk about these weather changes. And then Seth Shostak joins us from SETI, searching for extraterrestrial intelligence. We're going to be back in a moment to take final calls with Joseph Gallenberger. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, back with our final segment with Joseph Gallenberger as we talk about Liquid Luck, Inner Vegas, and PK, the ability to move objects with your mind. That is fantastic. How many people have that ability, Joseph?
I think, George, probably almost everyone. But a lot of people have never looked at it, A lot of people would feel it was of the devil or spooky.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people who may have had a taste of that when they were kids, they began to get the sense of vibe from their parents of being uncomfortable. They shut it down. So I had a story once of a grandmother sitting there at a magic show with their grandkid, about 4 years old, and the magician was working with rope on the stage, and she felt something and looked down, and the kid had been working with her shoelaces, just with his hand in the air. The shoelaces were dancing.
Jeez.
Another person heard a thump upstairs when they were babysitting, went up. Kid was levitating a ball on the bed, and the thump was when it would hit the floor. Most parents freak out, and then you don't even remember doing it, and then you never do it again because it seemed like it made people uncomfortable.
Why does fear seem to have a damper on this?
I think, as we've talked all show, the flowing energy of deep love is the best energy, the highest, and fear clouds energy. My favorite expression is, fear is expensive, love is priceless, choose wisely. So anytime you go into fear, you go in the ego, your energy constricts, you get tight, you're thinking about the negative outcomes or not being able to do it, all of that gets in the way.
Go to the phones again. Let us pick it up by going to Brian in Wisconsin, east of the Rockies, of course. Hello, Brian. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, George. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you, Brian.
Dr. Gallenberger, I'm fascinated to hear your story because in 10 years of living in Las Vegas, I had never heard anyone with an account that matched so closely to my own experience.
Wow. What happened? Share it with us, Bry.
Well, it started when I was a kid. I never lost a game of Monopoly, and I never had to deal to get my properties. I could play the dice and get all three of a color, and that's when I started realizing I could affect the dice. Similarly, I can affect slot machines. I play the video poker machines. I build my way up to the craps table as a very low-stakes player. I only have a $20 limit, and I have to earn the money to go to the table game, which
yes.
Once I'm there, I have that electrical energy you described in your hands. I charge the other side of the number that I want. I don't try for 11s on the come out because craps sits on the other side of 5 and 6. I think of the number that I want to stick to the felt from the static or other electrical charge, and that's how I get my number. Not what's on the surface and shows as the value of the dice, but what sticks to the felt from
my... That's real interesting, because a lot of people will roll what they wanted, but opposite, like on the bottom if they wanted it on the top. So I like your idea of... having to stick to the felt on that number, because it's a real clear mental picture of where you want that number to be.
How did you do in Vegas, Bry? Did you win?
Yes. I was not one of those people that said I'm about even. No, I consistently leave casinos with more than I came in with, or I have a really great time and tip a lot. That's another secret. If the croupier, if the dealer, any time I win, every time I win, I tip, because you get into a synchronicity that develops with the dealer or the croupier. They keep getting tips. They keep the energy keeps flowing. Sometimes I tip more than I actually will take out, but that's, they need to earn a living, and it makes for a really great time.
That's that generosity we talked about. It's very, very powerful.
It sure is. Hey, thank you for that story, Brian. Really appreciate it. But a lot of people, you say, have this ability, Joseph.
Yeah. And again, his example is good. A lot of people with this coming naturally will be rolling double sixes for an extra turn in child games like Monopoly and backgammon. They may notice it there. There was a lady, Helen Hartzell, I think her name was. She said, select, project, expect. And she would go to all these game shows and win every refrigerator and everything. She had so many, she'd take friends along to whoever needed a TV, a stereo, a refrigerator. They'd go with her and get on Price is Right or whatever it would be. And she just kept getting picked as a contestant. And when she did, she'd win.
When's your next trip to Vegas doing more testing?
As soon as COVID allows, I'll be out there.
Do you go by yourself or will you bring a group on this trip?
I think I'll bring a group. We had two groups full with waiting list when we had to suspend things because of travel. And so those people deserve to go out. And I love playing with other folks. One is a reunion group. We have one every year where people have been before, and we know these people know the game and give and receive generously and easily. And so that group is pending for our reunion for last year, and then a new group also. So as soon as we can, we'll do there. On my website, syncreation.com, on the top left is a free newsletter. That's when we'll announce when we're going back.
How do you know how to split up the group?
What do you mean by split up, George?
The positive, the negative, when you do your testing.
Oh, okay, so we take a group, it's a maximum group of 18, including my wife and I, and we aim for everybody there to be positive.
Everybody, okay.
Everybody to be positive, everybody thinking the same numbers, and those are our targets. And we, you know, we love the hard ways, which means a pair like 5-5 equals 10. And we bang those numbers out above chance. So that's how we do pretty well out there.
Let me tell you a story, explain what happened, then we'll take final calls. I was at a speech several years ago in Vegas with producer Tom. And afterwards, we, of course, wanted to have a little casino fun. And so we sat down and started playing blackjack. It was Tom, me, and some other guy was there who we didn't know. And this was a different kind of game because if you put a dollar down, in addition to playing your blackjack hand, if you got a blackjack and if you have the dollar in the little circle, you get to spin this reel, this big wheel, and whatever it falls on, you get that if you have a blackjack. And you could get up to $1,000 on that for a dollar in the little tiny circle. So I had a dollar in there, we're playing, and sure enough, I get a blackjack, and I had a dollar down there, so I'm eligible to spin the wheel. And Tom and I are thinking, this is fantastic. Let's use positive thinking and go for the $1,000. And, I mean, it's a huge wheel. The guy spins it, and all of a sudden, Tom and I are thinking, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, and we're upbeat. And then the guy in the middle, who we didn't know, goes, it isn't going to happen. This is bull. This is not going to happen. It's going click, click, click. It's getting it's two more clicks. It hits the 1,000. And the guy kept saying, it's not going to happen. And it stops right before the 1,000. Did he screw us up?
Probably so. A lot of people just can't tolerate that the world would get weird that way, you know, and you'd hit that.
I think if he was on board with us, we might have won that one.
Yeah, or if he hadn't been at the table, just been you two guys.
Right.
You're in good mood, you were likely to get it.
Why does mood have a lot to do with it?
Again, I think it's about energy flow. And we are creators, so he created it's not going to happen. And he threw you both off enough that you noticed him. Like if people are in a real zone at the dice table after we've done meditation,
mm-hmm.
somebody came up smoking a cigar right in their face and saying, oh, it's going to be a bad number, they would say, we never even noticed that guy. But if the guy catches your attention and now you're hearing at that last minute of your peak energy, it's not going to happen, then that's what gets created. So the key is to be able to tune out all, and let's call them negative Nellies, huh? And there's a lot of them in the world right now. And focus on what you would like to create for your kids and your grandkids.
So go to David in Columbus, Ohio, first-time caller. Hey, David, thanks for hanging in there. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. You already pretty much touched about what I wanted to talk about. But I'm going to ask my question anyway.
Okay, go for it.
Without needing Einstein's brain, how could I develop telekinesis?
How do you develop it without having an Einsteinian brain, Joseph?
Well, the good news is you don't have to have a big brain at all. They do studies sometimes when baby chicks show some PK. But it's opening the heart and learning a few concepts. A good place to start would be the Liquid Luck book. It's a way
I love that book,
of distilling man. 20 years of my experience down to simple. And so that'd be a good way to learn it.
Is science catching up with what you do, Joseph?
Yeah, I think, again, we've moved from yes, is it real, to yep, it's real, to then how does it work? How can you make it more consistent? And the studies are getting more and more elegant in terms of what they do. So in healing, for example, they can take a beaker with a million bacteria in it, put an antibiotic in there, and they know the bacteria will die in 20 minutes. And then they can have healers send protective energy to another beaker, and many more bacteria survive. The neat thing about that is there's no placebo effect. You can measure real precisely because you know what should have happened, and here you have affected and had something new happen. So the experiments are getting, for scientists, pretty sexy in terms of seeing the results clearly.
Let's go to
a lot of organizations doing it now.
They're catching on, aren't they?
Yeah, IONS out on the West Coast with Dean Radin. They
yep,
got a lot
yep.
of projects going.
Let's go to Ed in Tehachapi, California. Hey, Eddie, go ahead.
Oh, hi. Good to talk with you, George.
You too, Ed.
I was just trying not to sneeze from all the smoke that's in the air.
Uh-huh. Oh, there's too much.
Oh, very, very bad down here in Southern California. Joe, you bring back a lot of memories. I don't think I've ever talked about this with George on the air, but I ran one of the foremost psychic laboratories in the 70s and 80s at Stanford.
Ah, okay. Yes.
And some of the things you've talked about tonight very eloquently, I have to agree with Tom and La Jolla there. You do a beautiful job explaining the higher dimensional aspects of moving this energy around.
Thank you.
I made four notes here. I don't know if we have enough time for them. You brought back memories. When I was doing this work at Stanford, I often gave talks every semester over at Palo Alto High School on the current status of psychic research, and it always amazed me. The kids would come up to me after an hour and a half lecture. The kids would come up to me and tell me the experiments and playing around that they were doing. And I don't know if you bumped into this, but holy cow, some of these kids, I remember one kid saying, well, I used to sit there with a candle flame, and I just put my hands around the candle flame, and I could make it go out or I could make it go up to like a blowtorch.
Yeah, you know, the kids, you know, their creativity is just wild. And you give them an idea and a concept, they'll run with it and do more than you even tried to think about.
Well, and I thought you were going to bring this up, and I wanted to call in once or twice when Uri was on. But you may remember this experiment. This was hilarious. This was in London. Uri Geller was on the equivalent of Captain Kangaroo, a morning television kids show. This is in the 70s.
Uh-huh.
And John Taylor, the kids watch Uri bend some metal. So all of a sudden, after he was on this segment, the phone started to light up at the TV station, at the BBC. And this was because there were an awful lot of irate parents. Because the kids...
Silverware was bending in the drawers without them trying, right?
They were bending mommy's...
silverware.
Silverware.
Yeah.
And so enterprising John Taylor, who's a physicist at King's College, London, he being an enterprising guy, he rounded up these kids, and his book that's available somewhere, I was looking for it on my shelves, I couldn't find it a minute ago, but anyway, you should see, they were bending rebar. and all kinds of stuff, you know, into pretzel shapes and things. Now, a third point I want to make has to do with film fogging.
We're not going to have time for that, Eddie, because the clock has got us. Joseph, always a pleasure, my friend. Keep in touch with us the next time you go out to Vegas. I'd like to hear the results, okay?
It was great to talk to you again, George. You have a great week out there. We'll send some energy to get those fires calmed down.
Thank you, sir. Joseph Gallenberg, love his work. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Lottasaur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, Tim Banal, George Knapp, and Ian Punnett, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.